and you all are meeting to speak about your forefathers, what they had done. But at this occasion, after completing such a great amal, you should be thanking, glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ. Like how you talk and praise your forefathers, you should be actually praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the sustainer, who is the nourisher, who is the one that created you. آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Not only like how, but even to a greater degree and a greater extent, you should praise Allah ta'ala. Why? Because it's Allah ta'ala who has created everyone. Your forefathers, you're talking about their achievements, what they achieve, but who created them? Who is responsible for whatever we do? It is Allah ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala grants us the tawfiq and the ability to do anything good, then we should attribute not to ourselves. We cannot do anything. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam used to make this, and used to say this, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Any good that I have done, I have to attribute it towards Allah ta'ala. It's through the tawfiq of Allah that I was granted the ability to do something good. I cannot do nothing on my own. So Allah ta'ala is telling them, أَبَاءُكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا, to a greater extent, to a greater degree. Why? Because Allah ta'ala is the one firstly who created them, your forefathers, that you all are bragging and boasting about. And Allah Ta'ala is the one who's given them the tawfiq to do. If they did anything good also, it's the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. So attributing all good towards Allah Ta'ala. And therefore we have to praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala rectifies and corrects this incorrect practice of the people of Jahiliyyah, that they used to gather and speak about this. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. So Allah Ta'ala says, from amongst these people are those, the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, that would make dua to Allah Ta'ala after this. Now, what an opportune time. Imagine a great amal of hajj has been completed, for example. Person completes his salah. After any good deeds, make dua. After a person performs his salah, dua is accepted at that time. Person completes his hajj, umrah, dua is accepted. Now, at this time, these people are talking about their forefathers. And now they make dua, O Allah, Rabbana, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. That give us dunya. This is where it stops. O Allah, grant us dunya. Mention, scholars explain that they asked for dunya because they were soaked and they were engrossed in dunya. The only thing they knew was dunya. So asking for dunya, not even realizing that what we are asking for. We're just asking for dunya. If you got anything, they would have been satisfied. But rather ask, like Allah Ta'ala, the next verse, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the pious people, that what they will ask. Dunya, but together with dunya, hasana, goodness. These people were so soaked in, attached to this dunya, and so soaked and engrossed in dunya, that whatever it may be, whether it's beneficial to us, whether it's harmful to us, whether it's good for us, whether it's bad for us, irrespective, we want it. It's dunya, we want it. So, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Give us dunya. We just want dunya, dunya, dunya. Irrespective whether it's good for us, bad for us, beneficial, harmful, doesn't matter. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Whether they got dunya or they did not get dunya. But as far as akhirat is concerned, there's nothing for them. There's absolutely nothing for them. These are the disbelievers and the kuffar. That whether they have dunya, they don't get dunya, but the object in their life is dunya. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the salihin, the pious people. That how they will ask Allah Ta'ala, what's the du'as of the salihin? And Mufassirin explain that this is the first du'a that Allah Ta'ala has in the Quran and Majid, where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the du'as of the salihin, the pious people. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This is the dua of the pious and the salihin. That, O Allah, grant us this dunya, but grant us goodness in this dunya. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. This one word brings about the entire change. Complete change. Such a short dua that Allah Ta'ala is teaching us in Quran and Majid. That I'm sure all of us sitting here, we are familiar with this dua. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran Sharif. But do we understand the meaning behind this dua? Because it's so simple, it's so easy, we know it, we just read it, we rattle it off, not even realizing what is the meaning of this dua, how much of benefit lies in the short dua, something which is common we take for granted, we don't. But Allah Ta'ala is teaching us in Quran, and look at the wisdom behind this dua, this one word, hasana. If you look at the tafsir, the different tafsirs, with regards to this ayat of the Quran al-Majid, that this word hasana, oh Allah, grant us goodness in this dunya. What's the meaning of this word hasana? Goodness. Such a short dua, but so complete, and it encompasses everything. It encompasses everything, the short dua that we recite so often, and just by the way we read it also and we carry on. But it encompasses everything. So scholars explain this word hasana. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh Allah, grant us goodness. Now what is this goodness that we are talking about? Different tafsirs give so many different meanings in this one word. That it encompasses, they say, more than over 20 different things are mentioned with regards to this word. And everything is good. Everything is related to goodness. So the first thing which I mentioned, so we understand when we're making this dua, how powerful this dua is. How much of khair and goodness it is for us, that we just won't read it and pass. Because we read it and just continue pass as if nothing happened. But if we understand what is meant in this dua, what we are asking Allah Ta'ala in this one word, we contemplate and we reflect, it'll bring a whole different flavor to our dua. This one specific dua. So first thing they mention is that hasana, O Allah, grant us goodness in this dunya. What is meant by this goodness? Hasana meant, O Allah, grant us good health. Siha. O Allah, grant us good health in this dunya. If you look at health itself, if a person doesn't have good health, how is he able to perform other ibadats? For example, a person is bedridden, he's ill, he's sick, cannot get out of the bed. How he craves that if only I can make one sajda, I can put my head on the ground. I can't do that because of due to my illness. He wants to make sajda. He wants to stand and read his salah. But due to illness, he cannot stand and perform his salah. His heart desires to do it. But due to illness, he cannot do it. Person has all the wealth in the world. He wants to go for umrah. He wants to go for hajj. Maybe he hasn't performed his fard hajj. He has all the wealth in the world. But due to illness, he cannot make it. He cannot do it. So this restricts him from so many other ibadats. So the first thing, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh Allah, I'm asking for good health. Grant me good health. So that I'm able to fulfill all the commands of Allah. I'm able to commit, do all the ibadats of Allah Ta'ala. I'm able to fulfill my needs and requirements of this dunya also. So, siha. Second thing they mention together with that, is hasana the meaning of risk and sustenance. All this is in one word. When we say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, grant me good health. Then grant me risk and sustenance, halal risk and sustenance. That is goodness in this dunya. That, oh Allah, halal risk and sustenance that suffices for me, that is fulfills my needs and my requirements of this dunya, that I don't have to go to anyone, stretch my hand. That, oh Allah, grant me such risk and sustenance that suffices and fulfills my needs and my requirements. Another meaning of hasana is mentioned that a pious spouse, a pious wife, zawjatun salihatun, oh Allah, grant me a pious, an obedient spouse, that whenever I see her or she sees me, or whenever I look at her in her company, I'm reminded about the fulfilling the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. A person who has a pious spouse, a pious wife, they say that his jannat already started in this dunya. And that person who has a disobedient wife, disobedient spouse, then his jahannam also started in this dunya. So in this Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, we are asking Allah, grant me a pious spouse also in this dunya. So living in this dunya also becomes happy, comfortable for me. One hadith, the Bisa mentions also that four things if a person has in this dunya, then he has everything that this dunya has. Whatever this dunya has, he's got here, whatever, and more than that also. More than that also. One of them is qalbun shaqir, that he has a heart that is full of contentment. There's no greed in the heart. He's happy and content whatever Allah Ta'ala has given him. A tongue that is in the dhikr of Allah, always in the remembrance of Allah. A body that is always makes sabr at the time of difficulty, of hardships. And a spouse, a pious spouse. Person has this, he has whatever the dunya has, and even more than that also. So these are the dua that we are making in this one short dua. Then after, it is mentioned that ilmun ila al-haqi hadik, that you are asking Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, grant me such knowledge that will guide me towards the guidance, towards the true path, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, grant me such knowledge that will guide me towards the ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. We find other du'as Nabi Islam made. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Oh Allah, I seek protection from that knowledge which is not beneficial. Yes, there's some knowledge which is not beneficial. So Nabi Islam, he sought refuge and protection from that kind of knowledge. In this word hasana, we are making dua, oh Allah, grant me knowledge which is beneficial. A means of guidance towards Allah Ta'ala. Another dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ask for dua that's beneficial. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Knowledge which is beneficial. All this is in this one word. And then together with ilm, it's meant, the meaning also is amalun salihun. That hasana also means, oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq and the ability to do deeds, good deeds. A'mal saliha. Such deeds that will be a means of my salvation in akhirat. Such actions, such good deeds that will be a means of my salvation in akhirat. In this one word, hasana. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. So encompassing. Then in some mention, it means, oh Allah, grant me victory over my enemy in this dunya. Another meaning is, oh Allah, grant me afiyat in this dunya. Hasana, goodness, afiyat. Oh Allah, another meaning it's mentioned in the tafsir, oh Allah, grant me pious children. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Now imagine in one word, one short dua, we haven't even went through the whole dua, just the first part of this dua. Everything a person wants in dunya is found in this one word. Oh Allah, bless me with pious children. And we know what is the condition today. Parents are crying. Small children. We have open madrasa now. We have parents complaining. Children of the age of 5, 6, 7 years old children. Parents are complaining. That I can't control my child. Whatever my child's demands, I have to give it in. I can't handle it. I can't bear it. Children are controlling their parents at the age of 6, 7 years of age. So we want pious children. When we're making this dua, then all these things you should be in our mind. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh Allah, I'm asking for good health. I'm asking for rizq. I'm asking for a pious spouse, pious children, the tawfiq of doing good a'mal. All these things in this one word. Allah Ta'ala be asking for afiyat. Another meaning they say that Allah Ta'ala has become sufficient for me in this dunya. That I must not be able to look at anyone else for my needs. Allah Ta'ala must suffice and fulfill my needs. Goodness in this dunya. Another meaning is mentioned that Allah Ta'ala must grant me the tawfiq and the ability to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala, to be obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I'm asking you the ability, the tawfiq and the ability to fulfill your laws and fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. As we mentioned in the first, this is through the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. All in this one word. How encompassing this dua. Some also say, Fahmul Quran. Then we're asking, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh Allah Ta'ala, grant me the understanding of the Quran Majid. Kalamullah, the Kitab of Allah, the Book of Allah. MashaAllah, many of us, all of us, we are making tilawat of the Quran Majid. Ramadan is around the corner, around the bend now. And we're preparing, MashaAllah, we should be increasing our recitation in the Quran Majid. And like that, the whole year we're supposed to be reading some portion of the Quran Majid. Some tilawat has to be taking place. So one is tilawat of the Quran Majid, which is extremely important. But side by side, together with tilawat of the Quran Majid, we have to make some effort of understanding the Quran Majid as well. What is the message of the Quran? We are reading Quran day in, day out. Years have gone by. We haven't understood the message of the Quran. How are we going to practice and fulfill all the commands of Allah? We haven't understood the Quran. So side by side, we recite in the Quran and Majid, in our areas, the Imam of the Masjid, some ulama, let us go to them, ask them to give us or show us some authentic translation of the Quran, some easy, simple translation, some simple tafsir, and we're reading one page, one ruku, we read that one page, that one ruku, let us open and see the translation of what we read. I read Surah Fatiha, I read Alam Tara, I read Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. What is the message in the surah? What is my Allah telling me in the surah? I'm reading it one, it's very good. But what is the message? What I have to take out, what I have to learn from this? We're not saying now we must make our own commentary of the Quran Sharif. No, but as I mentioned, sit with some alim, get some easy, simple translation. Read one ruku, one surah, look at the translation. Look at what is the message of the Quran. Let's look at Surah Fatiha. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned that Surah Fatiha, we all know Surah Fatiha. He says the Quran consists of six themes. Tawheed, Risalat, Qiyamah, Jannah, Jahannam, etc. Kafir, Mu'min, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in Surah Fatiha, all those six themes are found in Surah Fatiha. And he says that Surah Fatiha is the essence of the entire Quran Sharif. Surah Fatiha. The essence of the Quran Sharif. And furthermore, he says the essence of Surah Fatiha is found in one ayat. We're reading Surah Fatiha every day. What have we learned? Do we know the message of Surah Fatiha? The entire Surah Fatiha in one ayat, he says. And what is that ayat? And that ayat is, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That, oh Allah, you alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. Basically, everything is found in this one ayat. If you understood this, we understood our object in this world. We understood the akhirat as well. That why we have been sent, where we are going. Person understands this, then he'll know what his object in life, he will know how to live his life. If he understood what his object in life, he'll know how to live his life. He knows what is in after mort, after death, he'll prepare for akhirat. That's the essence of the Quran Sharif. So we're reading Surah Fatiha day in, day out. In every rakat, it is wajib to recite Surah Fatiha. Do we know the message of Surah Fatiha? What is the lessons? So Allah Ta'ala in this word, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. Oh Allah, grant me understanding of the Quran Sharif. So this is the niyat we should be making. And like this, so many others have been mentioned with regards to this word, حَسَنَا. So this is the dua of the pious people Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. Oh Allah, grant us the goodness in this dunya. That's the first part. The second part, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. That, oh Allah, grant us the goodness of akhirat as well. Grant us the goodness of akhirat. What is the goodness of akhirat? Here again they explain. One is that, oh Allah, the goodness, the first thing is, oh Allah, grant us jannat. That is the goodness of akhirat. Oh Allah, grant us jannat. Grant us entrance into jannat. Say, Ameen, brother. Allah Ta'ala must enter us into jannat without hisab kitab. So this is the first thing, goodness of akhirat. Oh Allah, grant us jannat, the akhirat. Second thing, it is mentioned, what is meant by goodness in akhirat, that when the people of Jannat will be in Jannat and they'll be enjoying the ni'mats of Jannat, when Allah Ta'ala will ask them, is there anything left? Is there anything still that you require? What else do we require? Everything we have in Jannat. It's a lengthy incident, I'm just making the gist of it because of time. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tell the Jannatis, that is one thing that I am now pleased and happy with you. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The pleasure of Allah, the happiness of Allah, this is the greatest thing. That Allah Ta'ala will tell the Jannat is now, and happy with you. And never again, ever will I ever be displeased with you after this. I will never become upset and angry with you. That this is hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana. That Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased and happy with a person. And Allah Ta'ala will never become displeased with him thereafter, after that. Forever and ever and ever, Allah will be happy with you. Allah Ta'ala is saying this himself. So this is the one hasana, this is one goodness of akhirat. And they mentioned the third thing is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in akhirat, Allah ta'ala will remove that parda, and then the jannatis will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is meant hasana in akhirat also. What a thing. They say when the people of Jannat will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be mesmerized and they will stand for years and years just looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tajalli and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat. Can there be anything greater than that when a person will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They mention when a person occasion when the person will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, years and years and years, he's just looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that moment, that person will forget every ni'mat that he ever enjoyed in Jannat also. Whatever ni'mat that person enjoyed in Jannat, he will forget all those ni'mats just by looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hasana of akhirat. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ hasana. And the third part, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Person seeking protection from the azab of Jahannam. That, oh Allah, we seek protection from the azab of Jahannam. So the question now comes about that person is a mu'min, is a believer, azab in Jahannam. How is that possible? The person who has iman will go to Jannat. So it mentions that those people amongst the believers, because of some sins, some mistake, whatever sins they have committed, now they will be put into Jahannam for a period of time to be cleansed. So this waqina azab an-nar, you are asking, oh Allah, do not even put me in Jahannam for a little while. I want direct entry into Jannat. Save me from Jahannam completely. Whatever shortcomings on myself, overlook it, forgive me. Give me direct entry into Jannat. Without being to any purification and filtration, that put me direct into Jannat. You mentioned that Qiyamah, after everyone is put into Jannat and Jahannam, then the Jannatis will see where are certain people that were believers, they are in Jahannam. And they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this person is a Muslim, is a believer, how come he's in Jahannam? He had iman, he used to perform salah, he used to give his zakat, he used to fast in the month of Ramadan. Whatever the reasons are, this person is in Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala will tell the people of Jannat, going to Jahannam, whichever person you found, that even if he has an iota of iman, a spark of iman, just one spark of iman, take him out of Jahannam. They will go, and like this, every single person who had iman, whether to that of a mustard seed also, will be taken out of Jahannam. And they say, the hadith mentions, when these people will come out of Jahannam, their bodies will be burnt, and will be like charcoal. Like this, a person cannot go into Jannat. So Allah Ta'ala will put them in the river of Hayat, and their body will come out full of noor and be shining. And like this now, when hadith mentioned, when they will be put into Jannat, then the Jannatis will say, these are Jahannamiyun, the people that came from Jahannam. The people that came from Jahannam. So obviously, this is like a sense of embarrassment. The person doesn't like that title. And in Jannat, there's no such thing like that. There'll be no names and labeling people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, these are the people that Allah Ta'ala, who is Jabbar, these are the freed people of Jabbar, Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the one who freed these people from Jahannam. So they are the freed ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will be purified, and they will be cleansed, and they will be put into Jannat, and they'll be also amongst the Jannatis as well. So this is the وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The short encompassing dua completes everything. So next time when we're making this dua, let us understand what is the meaning behind this dua. What we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every type of goodness in this dunya. Let us just not read the translation, oh Allah, grant us goodness in this world, goodness in akhirat, and save us from azab of Jahannam. That's just the literal translation. But look at this word hasana. Our dunya and akhirat has been made. And such a dua, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala mentions that he was asked, what was the most frequent dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, the most frequent dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. He mentioned that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making tawaf around the Baytullah, between the Rukna Yamani and the Hajri Aswad, that this dua is the masnoon dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya. Such an easy, simple dua. Imagine while tawaf, and hadith mentions, Nabi Sallam mentions that whilst reciting this dua, I saw the angel saying Ameen to this dua. Between the Rukna Yamani and the Hajr Aswad. Rabbana atina fid dunya. When you're making tawaf, you'll see the people reading loudly at this point. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Wa fil akhirati hasana. Wa qina adhab an-nar. It mentions, Nabi Sallam, I saw the angel saying Ameen to these duas. Such a powerful dua. One occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to visit a person who was very, very sick, extremely sick. When he went to visit this person, he saw this person making this dua, that, oh Allah, whatever punishment is kept for me in the akhirat, oh Allah, give it to me now. So when I go to akhirat, I got no punishment. Whatever azab is kept for me in the akhirat, give it to me now while I'm sick and finish it off, and akhirat, I got nothing. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this dua, he said, Subhanallah, what dua are you making? Why are you making this dua? He said, I don't want any punishment in akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that you'll never be able to bear the azab of the akhirat in this dunya. You'll never be able, the punishment of akhirat in dunya is impossible for you to bear. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, rather than saying that, say this. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches him this dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. That, oh Allah, grant me the goodness of this world. Wa fil akhirati hasana. Grant me the goodness of akhirat. Wa qina adhab an-nar. And save me from the punishment of Jahannam. It mentioned later on, not a short while later, this person became cured and became healthy again. So let us, this sort of duas that we are reading, let us read it with this meaning. What Allah Ta'ala wants from us and what we are taking from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you'll see there'll be a difference in our duas. Person will make dua with a different flavor now, because he knows what he's getting in return for this dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq.